Now, we're brothers all right, but the Lord gave him 6 inches of my height. I've forgiven him for that. But it is truly a privilege to be here with you this morning. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today is also a special day. It's Valentine's Day. And now, for some reason, guys, and listen up very carefully, if you haven't purchased the expected items to ensure your survival today, there's still time to correct that error in judgment. I have 3 words for you. Flowers, candy, and a card. Now, for some of you who may be in a doghouse, a diamond might get you out. If your significant other squeezed your hand or gave you a nudge, I was talking to you. Now, there's some unfinished business that we're going to have to get cleared up today at Riverview. I wonder, how many elders are here today? Elders, are any elders here? Yeah, oh, please stand up. Please, elders, please. I want you to stand up. Okay, there's Jerry in the back. Jerry, I love you. Yeah, clap for these men. Okay, now you can sit down. Because I have a bone of contention to pick with all of you. See, you promised me 4 years ago that a letter would be coming in the mail that I would be the co-pastor of Riverview. Where's my letter? And now I have to say this. Please don't send me back to Minnesota. I will vacuum the carpets. I'll wash the windows. I'll cook the meals. I'll work vacation Bible school. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But don't send me back to Minnesota. It's minus 10 degrees there. Okay. That's an elder for you. A lot has happened since the last time I was here. Pastor Mel mentioned I was at Trinity International for 28 years. The Lord ushered me to a new assignment in Minnesota called Bethel University. I know what you're thinking. Wasn't Chicago cold? Yes, it was. In Minnesota, yes, it's colder. I started July 1st as vice president. And due to the timing of our family transition, we decided that we would take a phased approach. And the plan was for Kenna, my wife, and CJ, my son, to join me this spring in Minnesota, which is just an extension of the word being more colder. Our plans, however, were significantly altered on October 27th when I received word in Minnesota that in Chicago, Kenna, my oldest daughter, and CJ were in a serious car accident. My daughter is recovering still from a broken sternum. My son CJ had a severe concussion and bruised ribs, but my wife sustained the most significant of injuries. She had a broken right ankle, which necessitated an emergency surgery procedure that evening. Subsequent to that, she's had an additional surgery, so she's had two. She's not been able to walk. And the doctors are saying it'll probably be another 3 more months before she can walk or drive. It's affected our move to Minnesota, but God is in control. The accident, folks, could have been far worse than what it was. But the Lord's protection and his hand was with my family. I'm grateful to be with you today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. That's Luke 17, 11 through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we investigate, as we ponder, as we search your word today, Lord, reveal the truth that each one of us needs to know as we walk out of this sanctuary today. Lord, you know the burdens, the struggles, the challenges, the difficulties that we individually as well as collectively may be experiencing at this time. And Lord, we trust them into your hands. Lord God, allow us to be good followers. Allow us, Lord, to lean and trust into you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, my focus will be on a man who was considered by the religious establishment of his day to be a flim-flam man. A man who went from town to town announcing, "To be first, you have to be last." A man who went from city to city peddling living water, not soda water. A man who went from village to village seeking to save the lost, but eventually died on the cross. We find this so-called flim-flam man arriving at a village outside of Jerusalem. Now, scripture makes no reference to the village's size, the population, or military significance. What is critical in this particular text is the geographical position of where this village is located. It lies on the border of Samaria and Galilee. Now, Samaritans and Jews had as much in common as a 49er fan with a Chargers fan. Or for that matter, a Ducks fan would have with an L.A. Kings fan. Samaritans and Jews didn't like each other too well. Come to say it well, they hated each other pretty passionately. The Jews, the Republicans, were the full-blooded inhabitants of the land who had not intermarried, who had kept the traditional mandates of God, and followed the Torah. The Samaritans, the Democrats, were part Jewish descent. They had intermarried with foreign cultures, incorporated foreign beliefs within Jewish doctrine, and they were called half-breed people. For this reason, the Republican Jews viewed the Samaritan Democrats as unclean people. In Luke 17:12, Jesus encounters 10 lepers at a distance. Leprosy in the first century in many ways is comparable to AIDS in our present day. It had multiple outcomes for both Jewish and Samaritan populations. It impacted a person's physical, social, and most importantly, their social condition, spiritual condition. From a physical perspective, leprosy would attack the body in 4 hideous stages. Skin discoloration. I mean, people's skin would begin to change colors Massive sores would hit a person's body, be difficult to move around, constant pain. A person's fingers and flesh would be, and toes would graft together. And finally, the most hideous stage is when people's eyes and ears and limbs would begin to rot from their body. Just think about the smell and the embarrassment of that. From a social perspective, these people were shunned by society, and their families could not participate in religious celebrations or holidays. These people were forced from their homes, forced to live in a community of lepers, which was referred to as the community of the walking dead. From a spiritual perspective, many believed that the ailment was a direct judgment from God. Either you or someone in your family had messed up pretty badly. These people, brothers and sisters, they were labeled and called unclean to their faces. For this reason, they cried out to Jesus from a distance. How many of us, you, have found ourselves to be a great distance from God? God, you don't understand. I'm carrying a significant burden, but I don't hear you. God, I'm asking your help, but I don't feel like you're engaged with what I need. God, where have you? Why have you forsaken me? If we're honest with ourselves, we've been at that point at some time in our walk with the Lord. But I'm here to tell you something this morning, Riverview. You're never, ever too far from Jesus if you recognize who he is. In verse 14, Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. What a dramatic act. The awesome supernatural power of God is witnessed. Jesus, being consistent with the law of Moses, indicates to them, go show yourselves to the priest. In verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Verse 18, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? I mean, he's baffled by this. These men, from the mere words of Jesus, were cleansed. Their physical, social, and spiritual reputations restored in an instant, but only one had enough gratitude to come back and thank Jesus for what he did. Folks, Jesus has done the same for us as he's done for the 10 lepers. He's restored our lives by covering the blotches of sin, healing the sores in our lives with his touch, and giving us new eyes, new ears, new hands and hearts to respond to his leading. How many of us are the mindset of the 9, quick to take for granted the dramatic act of grace God has bestowed upon our lives? Or are we that one leper living to show an attitude of gratitude to Christ by living our lives in such a way that directs people to God's truth, God's mercy, and God's love? Some of you might be asking, how can I live my life with an attitude of gratitude? The passage provides 3 ways to respond. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Let me share something with my wife's consent. This upcoming October will mark 30 years of being married. I know some of you are probably saying, wow, this guy looks too good and too young to be married for 30 years. Well, that's why I look so good and so young, because I've been married for 30 years almost. 27 years ago, my wife and I traveled to a small town in Iowa called Orient. When I say a small town, I'm just talking about a few hundred people. In the town resided her relatives, but most importantly, her grandmother. Now, for some of you who don't know this, my wife is of the lighter hue. She's white, I'm of the blacker hue. I'm black. And I have three kids who have some cream. So there's some cream in the coffee, if you know what I mean. Now, it was after the third visit that I noticed a set of patterns that would emerge upon my arrival. See, that would be a transformational change over my grandmother's home. See, shortly after I arrived, the blinds would drop, boom. The curtains would be pulled, boom. And for the duration of that visit, I would be under house arrest. I soon discovered that members of the family refused to visit because I was there. The family members who did come, it was okay, but I felt unclean. I felt like a leper. And Grandma's kitchen was a collage of pictures of all the grandkids who had married and walked down the aisle and started families and all, but my picture, our picture, was not there. It came to a point that I dreaded going to Orion, Iowa, because it made me feel like I was unclean. I was a leper. Situation came to a dramatic head one evening. My wife, Grandma, and myself were at the kitchen table. I could tell that Grandma was uncomfortable, but she had something definitive to say, something important to say. And these are the words that she said to both of us that evening. Coffee, I'm sorry to say, but I can't take you to church. I can't introduce you to my friends. I can't explain you to the people I know. You see, this is a small town. People don't adjust well to change. Leper. Unclean. Pastor Mel talked earlier that we worked with college students together for a number of years. And one of the things that he taught me was to always be quick on your feet in response. But I was completely dumbfounded. What seemed like an eternity of silence, God did a dramatic act. Earlier that day, I was reading the book of Proverbs, one particular verse that had an impact on me, and I could hear it so clearly in my mind was Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool is thought wise and discerning if they can control their tongue. That verse, Riverview, kept playing in my mind over and over and over and over. We spent some time in idle chatter, as uncomfortable as it was, and as I went off to bed that evening, it was difficult for me to make eye contact with my wife. The few times I did make eye contact, I could see the pain and discouragement that she was experiencing. As I turned off the lights that evening, tears began to well up in my eyes, and I recall awkwardly trying to apologize. For what reason, I don't know. But so often what good men, good husbands do, I looked over to make sure my wife was sleeping before the tears ran down my cheeks. And I cried out to God from a distance. I asked, Lord, somehow, some way, you got to fix this. I don't understand it. I don't have an ability to effectively pray. There's nothing that I can do to change the situation. Grandma was responding to the racism of her community. The following morning, my wife and I gathered our belongings, said our goodbyes. We determined it would be best to distance ourselves from the situation before responding. But Riverview, I had made up my mind. I was never, ever, ever going to that place ever again. A few weeks later, we received a letter in the mail. I'll read a portion of that letter to you. Coffee and Kenna, I have your wedding picture on my fridge, and I feel good about that. I really wasn't trying to hide anything, but I wasn't being open enough either. Next time, Coffee, bring your church clothes. I'm looking forward to June. Stay well. Love, Grandma. Jesus did a dramatic act. He removed the leprosy, the sin that separated us. He proved by his power that he had control over a hopeless situation. I believe because the Lord guided my response, he kept my mouth shut, he was able to look over Grandma's shoulder and to work in her heart, where he began the work of transformation and conviction. Now, this wasn't a superficial transformation. I began to receive the customary $10 holiday gift that everybody received in a family. You know when the money's flowing, you're in. The family reunion, which had been purposely scheduled when we had our Trinity summer orientation, was changed so me and my family could attend. Our family pictures were displayed all over the house. And guess what? My house arrest finally came to an end. And when Grandma would take me around town, she would introduce me as her grandson. And as people would double take and almost have a heart attack right on the spot, she didn't flinch at all. Praise be to God. He did exceedingly above what I ever expected or imagined. I've been grateful to God ever since. He reconciled my family, restored my grandmother. He didn't have to do what he did. To show my attitude of gratitude, I strive to live my life to be obedient and to please the Lord. Are you living your life today in remembrance of where you used to be and where God has called you today? Point two, give God the glory with enthusiasm, passion. With a loud voice. Folks, in 2006, I had an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. Indianapolis Colts versus Chicago Bears. My good friend Leslie Frazier was the defensive back coach for the Indianapolis Colts, and he gave us the VIP treatment. We had a chance to go to the pregame Super Bowl brunch. I mean, they had chef stations all across this big ballroom, and they were cooking steak and lobster and shrimp and chicken, and they even had a vegetarian section. I didn't even go over there. I decided to let other people stand over there. I didn't go over there. And then we had private VIP transportation to the game. I'm talking police escort, cars on the side of the road. I'm waving at everybody. Maybe they think I'm an Indianapolis Colts player. I didn't stand up to give it away, though. And then we won the game. And we have the Super Bowl or Super Bowl parties. I mean, I'm in there dancing with Peyton Manning. And I'm doing my thing. I mean, it was fantastic. And right beside my table was the owner's table. And the owner came in with the Super Bowl trophy. I said, I got to touch the Super Bowl trophy. I got to get a picture. And sure enough, here's a picture of me holding the Super Bowl trophy about 3:30 in the morning. Man, there was so many security guards that surrounded me. They thought a little black guy was going to run out of there with the Super Bowl trophy. I wasn't going anywhere with the trophy. Now, I've told you this story, and probably you are saying, what is the doggone point of him telling us this story? Well, let me tell you. My point is that we can be enthusiastic and passionate about events that we consider important, and be dispassionate about the things of God, such as the blessings and grace he bestows upon us day in and day out. Let me give you an example. Probably many of you are saying, well, wait a minute, I don't have the passion or enthusiasm to be talking to people about Jesus. But yes, you do. Think about conversations you have with people about this particular movie that stimulated your thinking or moved your heart, or this particular book that you read, or this particular dish that you baked, and you're describing that to someone. And invariably, what do those people do? Wow. What's the email address? Where's that movie playing? Where can I pick up that book? Just think. If we could share what the Lord has done in our lives the same way that we talk about those things, like I just talked about the Super Bowl, how many people in our families would have changed, transformed, and new lives? We have it within us to be a part of God's business and transforming lives for Him. Point three, give God the glory with genuine humility. He fell on his face. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Pastor Mel and I have a lot of stories to tell about college students, but we can't tell them or we'll go to jail. But I have one particular one with that student's permission that I'll share with you today. I once knew a flim-flam man who told his parents his grades were B's, but in reality they were D's. This man presented to his instructors and peers that his life was fluff, but in reality it was fluff. The flim-flam would announce, "I can solve your problem so you can be cool," but people soon realized he was acting a fool. He received a letter addressed from the dean. "Your time is up, Mr. Flam. Your academic record has hit the fan. You're dismissed, you sham." The flim-flam felt like spam. He sought out God, "Save me from this condition," knowing full well he felt no contrition. Flam went to youth camp preaching with fervor. "Jesus Christ is real. He died for you and me." How could he do that, you ask? He was a flim-flam man, you see. A chill reached his soul. He knew he had dug a hole. Scheming and deceiving was his game. One night in the still, he reflected on his life, which had produced great and terrible strife. He had been a flim-flam man all his life. Finally, he understood his life was no good. He had squandered it all away. The flim-flam man decided one day to turn his life a different way. His days of playing were put at ease when he finally found Jesus on his knees. He went back to school to get his degrees, bachelor's, master's, even a PhD. His parents and wife were very pleased. "How did he get that job done?" many would inquire. "I remember that guy when he was a low-down liar." However, people failed to see. Christ set the flim-flam man free. Changed his life to the 10th degree. You see, I know this man, for this man was me. Some of us may know, or some of us even may be living a life of flim-flam, living a life that you know full well compromises what God has supernaturally done for you. Jesus wants all of us to put aside the attributes of leprosy. Christ, as he did for the 10, has done a dramatic act for all of us. He died on the cross, bearing our sins and iniquities, reconciling us to the Father, and giving us the gift of eternal life. Jesus, as he did for the 10, has done this from a distance. No matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you're never too far from Jesus if you recognize who he is. Give God the glory and God alone. Demonstrate an attitude of gratitude in the way that you live your life day in and day out. Christ died for you and for me, for us to live life abundantly. Give the Lord the glory. Give the Lord the glory. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice, for dying on the cross to redeem and to restore us. Lord God, as we walk away from this place, help us to always remember to have an attitude of gratitude for the wonderful and wondrous works that you have done in our lives. Equip and empower us to be your disciples, to be used to glorify and to honor you. In Christ's name, we pray.